Again today, we're glad to see you. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate the good prayer by Travis and Dad in leading us in these beautiful songs as we praise God together. I'm excited to be able to tell you today about a new internet broadcast entitled What Saith the Scripture. We tried to find some radio and television time in this community through which we might preach the gospel. We've not had a very successful time in doing that. And so I decided not to wait any longer, but if we were going to have a broadcast, we're just going to have to do it ourselves. And so we started an internet broadcast, and I asked two good men to join me, my grandfather and David Eldridge of Cookeville, Tennessee. And we uploaded our first broadcast yesterday. For a number of years, when I preached in Salem, Indiana, I wrote a weekly column in the local paper under the heading, What Saith the Scripture? And there was lots of interest in that. In fact, it drew a number of responses in the form of letters to the editor and a town crier in which folks could express their opinion. And so we decided to take it to the airwaves. We had a weekly radio program on Sunday mornings for about 15 minutes, which we changed to a half an hour on Sunday afternoons, a live call-in program. So folks could call in with their questions and make any comments. If they had a subject they'd like for us to talk about, we'd talk about it. We had lots of calls. And I'd like to see us be able to do that in this community. But some stations aren't open to that kind of thing like they used to be, and the cost is so enormous that you can't afford to do it. But through the internet, we have the technology that we're able to broadcast and have folks that can join us even in other places around the world. And so we are calling this program What Saith the Scripture. That's our appeal. That's the appeal that the Lord made. In the book of Matthew 21 and verse 42, for example, he asked the priest and elders, did ye never read in the scriptures? In John 5:39, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You cannot read the preaching of men of God in the New Testament without being impressed with the fact that they appeal to the scriptures. Like Peter, who in Acts 1 and in verse 16 stood up and said, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled. And when you read the first recorded sermon in Acts 2, you'll find it is scripture-filled. For example, he quoted Psalm 16, 8 through 11 and applied it to Christ. In Acts 8, when Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, you remember he met up with a man of Ethiopia, and Acts 8:35 tells us he opened his mouth and began. Where did he begin? With the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. This resulted in the man's confessing his faith in Christ as the Son of God and being baptized. And if we want to see folks baptized today, we're just going to have to get back to making our appeal to what saith the scripture. Paul, in a Thessalonian synagogue, as recorded in Acts 17 and verse 2, reasoned with them out of the scriptures. In his teaching, he often appealed to the scriptures, like Romans 10:11, for the scripture saith, Romans 11:2, want ye not what the scripture saith, Galatians 3:8, and the scripture, Galatians 3:22, but the scripture hath concluded, and on that goes. You remember Apollos? In Acts 18, we read where he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ, Acts 18:28. And the question, what saith the scripture, was asked by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, and Galatians 4:30. And so we ask the question, what saith the scripture? We hope that you'll watch the program and invite your friends, tell others about it. The easiest way to find it is on our website, churchofchrist@terrehope.com. There's a tab on the homepage for internet broadcast. You click on that tab, and you can go to a YouTube channel where you can view the program. You can join a mailing list to be notified of future broadcasts. You can submit an email if you have a question, if you have a subject that you'd like for us to discuss. And we hope to be able to rotate in some other men, faithful men and able men, from time to time to join us as we make our appeal to what saith the Scripture. In light of that, I want to ask the question in our study this morning, based upon Romans 4, when Paul said, "For what saith the Scripture," in verse 3. If you and I are going to know and understand the truth, then we're just going to have to make our appeal to the Scriptures. In this study, I'm asking about several subjects. What saith the Scripture? First of all, what saith the Scripture about sin? The Scripture saith that sin is transgression of law. 1 John 3:4. The Scripture saith that all unrighteousness is sin. 1 John 5:17. That's what the Scripture saith about what sin is. But also, what saith the Scripture about what sin will do? The Scripture saith that sin will separate a man from God. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, the Messianic prophet said, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." The Scripture also saith that sin brings death. In Romans 6:23, Paul said, "For the wages of sin is death." That's eternal death, eternal separation from God. But what saith the Scripture about how to get rid of sin? What must a person do to receive the remission of his sins, to have his sins put away? The Scripture saith that Jesus shed his blood for the remission of sins. In Matthew 26, and instituting the Lord's Supper, the Lord said, as recorded in verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." Lord, why did you shed your blood? For the remission of sins. The Scripture also saith that baptism is for the remission of sins. In Acts 2, when folks heard the preaching of the apostle as appeal was made to the Scriptures, and they recognized that they were guilty of sin, they said, "What shall we do?" Peter answered in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Why? For the remission of sins. The Scripture saith that Jesus shed his blood in his death. In John 19:34, you remember the scene when they came to Jesus? They saw he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. But one of the soldiers took a spear and pierced his side, and there came out blood. The Scripture saith that we're baptized into his death. In Romans 6, 3 and 4, "Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?" When you put all of that together, you realize that Jesus shed his blood for the remission of sins. His blood was shed in his death. We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we must be baptized into his death to contact his blood to have our sins remitted. And so the Scripture saith what sin is, what sin will do, and how you and I get rid of our sins. But then in addition to that, what saith the Scripture about salvation? We're not interested in what men might think about it or what somebody's opinion is, but what saith the Scripture about salvation? Well, first of all, what saith the Scripture about the need for salvation? The Scripture saith all need salvation. For in the book of Romans 3, in verse 23, Paul said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That means you sinned and I sinned. There is a universal need for salvation. The Scripture also saith that God would have us to be saved. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, when Paul wrote Timothy, a young gospel preacher, among other things he said, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." The Scripture saith God would have you to be saved. and God would have me to be saved. The Scripture also saith where salvation is, and how it is that we obtain it. In 2 Timothy 2, in verse 10, the Scripture saith, salvation is in Christ Jesus. Now the question is, how do I obtain it? How do I enter Christ Jesus where salvation is? Again, we're not interested in what some man may tell us about that, but what saith the Scripture about how to obtain salvation? The Scripture saith in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. But also, the Scripture saith that salvation is conditional. That's taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when, beginning at verse 1, Paul said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. Now listen, by which also you're saved. What's the next word? If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. The fact that Paul said you're saved if indicates that salvation is conditional. It's possible to lose one's salvation. That's what the Scripture saith about sin and about salvation. But then taking our study another step, what saith the Scripture about baptism? Men have lots of different things to say about it. But we're not interested in that. As Paul said, your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, 1 Corinthians 2:5. But our appeal is, for what saith the Scripture about baptism? First of all, the Scripture saith that baptism is a necessity. For example, in Mark 16:16, Jesus declared, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. In Acts 22:16, remember when Saul went into the city and he was told what he must do to be saved? Ananias said, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Peter declared in 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure, whereunto even baptism, doth also now save us. That's what the Scripture saith about the necessity of baptism. But what saith the Scripture concerning what baptism is for? What's baptism for? You might ask that question of any number of people and get any number of answers. One person might say, why, baptism is for the purpose of declaring that you've already been saved. It's an outward sign of an inward grace. But what saith the Scripture about what baptism is for? In Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for, what's baptism for? The remission of sins. That's what saith the Scripture about what baptism is for. But what saith the Scripture about who the subjects of baptism are? Who's a subject of baptism? Who is it that is a candidate to be baptized? Well, the Scripture saith that, first of all, those who are taught are subjects of baptism. In Matthew 28, in the giving of what's been called the Great Commission, the Lord said in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Baptizing who? Those that have been taught. He said, teach, baptizing them. And so, the Scripture saith that a person to be baptized must first be taught. Taught what? Taught the gospel. In Mark's account, Mark 16:15, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. A person must first be taught, must hear gospel preaching before he's ready to be baptized. But also, the Scripture saith that a person must believe before he's baptized. In Acts 8, in verse 12, when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. When were they baptized? When they believed. That's true of the Ethiopian in Acts 8, when he said, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And so a person must believe. Remember, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. The Scripture also saith that those who are guilty of sin are subjects of baptism. Remember Acts 2:38, what baptism is for? For the remission of sins. Now, that would eliminate the infant and the irresponsible, for they have no sins. Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin is not inherited, as the son does not bear the iniquity of the father. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. Colossians 3 and in verse 25. The scripture also saith that one must repent. Baptism is for those who repent. In Acts 2:38, when Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Baptism is for those who confess their faith. As the man of Ethiopia in Acts 8:37 said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Paul taught in Romans 10:9 and 10 that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And in Matthew chapter 16, when the Lord asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then he asked them personally, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, this bedrock truth that I am who you just confessed me to be, I will build my church. And so, what saith the scripture about subjects of baptism? It's for those who have been taught the gospel, those who believe, those who have sin in their life, those who repent of their sin and confess their faith. That's what saith the scripture. But what saith the scripture about the action of baptism? Is it a sprinkling or a pouring of water over an individual, or is it an immersion of the whole person in water? You could ask any number of people. You could go to a different religious group and hear a lot of different answers about that. Somebody might say, I think you ought to, or my creed says, or our preacher says. You can't go by that. You have to go by what saith the scripture. And the scripture says in Romans 6, 3 and 4, and Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism. Also, in Acts 8:36 to 38, when the man of Ethiopia said, see, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. He baptized him, and they came up out of the water. That's a depiction of immersion. No need to stop the chariot if just a little sprinkling or pouring of water is sufficient. But what saith the scripture about what baptism does? What's baptism do? And again, you might get a number of different answers to that if you ask different people. But the only reliable source in answering questions of this nature is what saith the scripture, is all scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. Scripture says that baptism results in a man's sins being washed away. In Acts 22:16, Saul was told, and now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The scripture saith that baptism puts one into the one body. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, Paul said, by one spirit are we all baptized into. Into what? One body. Paul said there is one body. Ephesians 4:4. He identified it as the church. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And again in Colossians 1:24, when he said, for his body's sake, which is, what is the body? The church. One body, the church, one church, baptized into it. That's what the scripture says baptism does. But also the scripture saith that baptism puts one into Christ. Baptized into Christ, remember? Galatians 3:27. Baptized into Jesus Christ. Romans 6. And then verse 3. And the scripture saith that baptism saves. Somebody said, I don't know about that. My preacher said, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Our creed does not agree with that. Our church does not believe that. Our church does not teach that. Again, you can't go by that. You're making the wrong appeal. The question is, what saith the scripture about what baptism does? And in 1 Peter 3:21, Peter said, baptism doth also now save us. The scripture saith, baptism doth save. Now man comes along, and in so many words and in so many ways, tries to convince you, baptism doth not save. But whose word are you going to take? Who are you going to believe? Some man, or what saith the scripture? But in addition to that, what saith the scripture about the New Testament church? What saith the scripture in regard to what the church is? The scripture saith in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The scripture saith that the church is the called. It's made up of those who have been called out of darkness into light. And that's the basic meaning of that word church, the called out. The scripture saith that these called out people are saints. In Romans chapter 1 and in verse 7, Paul said, called to be saints. The scripture saith that those called out of darkness into light, called to be saints, are in one body. Colossians 3:15, called in one body. And the scripture saith that those called out of darkness into light to be saints in one body are called by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 14. And so if you're called by something other than the gospel, you're called into something other than the gospel, called something other than what the gospel calls you, then you cannot be a part of what is called the church in the New Testament. That's what the scripture saith about what the church is. What saith the scripture about who designed the church? Who's the architect behind it? The scripture saith in Ephesians 3:10-11, the church has been made known by the wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church is according to God's eternal purpose. He designed it. But what saith the scripture about who built it? Who built the church of which you're a member? Did the Lord? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. That's not true just of your family. That's true of the church, which is the house of God. 1 Timothy 3:15. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I will build my church. And any church built by man is not the Lord's. What saith the scripture about when and where it was established? The scripture saith in Isaiah 2:2-3, that the Lord's house, which is the Lord's church, would be established in the last days among all nations in Jerusalem. In Acts 2, you find the fulfillment of that. When the scripture saith in Acts 2:5, they were dwelling at Jerusalem, that's the place, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven, that's the people. And as the apostles spoke with new tongues, they were accused of being drunk or full of new wine. Peter said, these are not drunk, as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day, only 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, verses 16 to 17. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, quoting from Joel 2, 28 to 32, wherein the prophet said, it shall come to pass in the last days. We've got the right time. When Isaiah said the Lord's house or church would be established. And for the first time, the church is said to be in existence, when in verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's what saith the scripture about when and where it was established. But what saith the scripture about the value of the church? You know, many today have lost sight of the value of the church. They think it's not important. But the scripture saith that the church was purchased with the blood of Christ. Acts 20:28. What saith the scripture about how the church is organized? The scripture saith, all the saints in Christ Jesus with the bishops and deacons. Philippians 1:1. What saith the scripture about its work? The scripture saith in 1 Thessalonians 1 and in verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. The scripture saith that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. The scripture also talks about the church relieving its needy, as you see examples of in Acts chapters 2, 4, and 6. The scripture also saith in Ephesians 4 and in verse 16, the edifying of itself in love. That's what the scripture saith about its work. But what saith the scripture about its worship? The scripture saith in Acts 2:42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers. And the scripture saith, in Ephesians 5:19, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what saith the Scripture about the church. But what saith the Scripture about calling upon the name of the Lord? Ask not, what does my church think about this? Ask not, what does my preacher have to say about this? Ask not, what does the majority think? But simply ask, as Paul, for what saith the Scripture about calling upon the name of the Lord? The Scripture saith in Romans 10 and in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, what saith the Scripture about what calling upon the name of the Lord is not? You know, most people today misunderstand what's involved in calling upon the name of the Lord. They say it is something that it's really not. And so what saith the Scripture about what it's not? Matthew 7:21. The Scripture saith, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And so the Scripture saith that calling upon the name of the Lord is not just saying, Lord, Lord. And yet there are those who think that when they've called the Lord's name, they've said, Lord, Lord, they've called upon the name of the Lord. What saith the Scripture about what is involved in calling upon the name of the Lord? The Scripture saith in Romans 10:14, beginning, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. The Scripture saith that calling upon the name of the Lord involves hearing, believing, and obeying the gospel. That's what's involved. Until a person hears the gospel, believes the gospel, and obeys the gospel, he's not called upon the name of the Lord. And baptism's involved in that, for baptism is an act of obedience. You remember in Acts 22:16? And now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. What's the rest of that? Calling upon the name of the Lord. That's what the Scripture says about calling upon the name of the Lord. And we could go on in our study in regard to a number of different issues and Bible subjects and ask this question, what saith the Scripture? And I hope that's our appeal. That whenever it comes to any question we have, any issue that arises, that we'll always ask the question, what saith the Scripture? And in 2 Corinthians 6 and in verse 2, the Scripture saith, behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And so if you've not obeyed the gospel, why not now? Why not today? Why not take advantage of this opportunity? Having heard it, do you believe it? Would you be willing to obey it, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son? And we'll be happy to immerse you in water for the mission of your sins that you might be added to the church that the Scriptures talk about. Maybe you've already done that, but you become unfaithful. You've not been pleasing in the sight of God. You desire to repent of whatever it is that you're guilty of and ask for God's forgiveness and prayer. We'll be happy to pray with you and for you if you'll come to the front right now as together we stand and sing.